That'll work.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand for the our confession tonight. Let's all stand. Hold your Bible up, your hand up, something up, and let's let the Lord know we're ready to receive the word tonight. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I do what it says I do. And I can have what it says I can have. Tonight I will be taught. The incorruptible, indestructible seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Please open your Bibles tonight to the New Testament, to the book of Timothy, or excuse me, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many here tonight realizes that we're in the last days? How many realize that tonight? All we have to do is just objectively look around and we can see how things have changed so much. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, maybe there's one in the pew there in front of you. I know we usually have it on the screen, but we can get by tonight. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. These are some marks of the latter days. Some marks of the latter days. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. God bless the reading of this word. If you would take someone's hand next to you, let's pray together as a family of God tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time to be able to gather in your house with our family here, Lord, to be able to study your word, to grow deeper in our knowledge of your word. And I'm asking you tonight to grant me as thy servant, Lord, a ready turn of thought, the words to say. And I pray that, Lord, you would help me to rightly divide your word of truth. Be in our midst, Lord. We pray that, God, you would highlight some of the important thoughts in this passage and in this book of the Bible that we are looking into tonight. We pray, Holy Spirit, you'll cause these things to be etched upon our hearts in such a way that it would never be erased. So, Lord, be with us. Edify and build us up, Lord, in the most holy faith. And, Lord, as we pray always, we ask that this be for your glory, that you change us and help us to live a life for your glory, and all in the name of your Son, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. When you read this passage of Scripture, it almost reads like something that is ripped from the headline of the local paper that came out just this morning. It's almost like it's a headline being read on Fox News or some news source, because these things are so relevant. They are happening right now. It's so current. And God's Word is like that. God's Word is always current. It's always profitable. And we can learn something from this. I want you to get from this message, at least this idea when you leave this place tonight, that Jesus could come back at any time. The Bible tells us in God's Word that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. You know, when a thief comes in the middle of the night and rob your house, he doesn't call you first ahead of time, does he? He doesn't send you a Instagram picture and says, "Hey, this is me, I'm outside your door, I'm just fixing to break in." He doesn't do that. He doesn't have somebody come and ring the doorbell and say, "Hey, I'm just fixing on 10 minutes, the robbers will be here, so get everything ready so that they can get in and out of her." It doesn't work that way. When a thief comes to our house in the middle of the night, he might come at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2:27, we don't know what time he's coming. And Jesus says, that's the way it's going to be when I come back. He says, I'm going to come as a thief in the night. You might say, well, why would he call himself a thief? Well, he's not a thief in this sense. Everything here belongs to God. Can you say amen to that? The Bible says, even his highest creation, we belong to God. He says, know ye not that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Amen. So we're not our own. We belong to God. Our children belong to God. This church belongs to God. Our money belongs to God. Our homes belong to God. Our nation, everything belongs to God. The rivers, the streams, the animals, even the clouds in the sky, everything belongs to God. So he's not a thief in that sense. But Jesus himself said that Satan is the little g god of this world. Satan has a kingdom in this world. He usurped God's authority. That is, through trickery, he, in a sense, stole God's kingdom that he had entrusted to the man and the woman in the garden. And so, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back as a thief to plunder the kingdom of Satan. Hallelujah. It's like the song we sing, I went into the enemy's camp, and I took back what is stolen from me. You know that song? Well, Jesus is coming back to take back what's been stolen from him. Amen? Let me tell you a few things he's going to take back. Hallelujah. First of all, he's going to take this entire world system back. You know, we think that a lot of things going on in this world, we have control and people can change. Let me tell you something. There's a world system that most people don't even know about. There's groups like the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers, and you just Google that sometimes. There are some of these groups that are pulling the strings behind the scenes in geopolitical politics. They are the ones that are causing this one to get elected. And that one, one of the major players, is a billionaire named George Soros. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. But he's one of the big supporters of Hillary Clinton. Do you know that it is rumored that he was involved as an SS agent, a soldier during World War II, and had many, many Jews put to death in the gas chambers? That's the kind of people that are working behind the scenes, folks. Why do you think this week the ex-Secretary of State, John Kerry, was in Iran trying so hard to save the Iran agreement? It wasn't even a treaty. It was something that Obama just did by executive order. He had to do that because the Senate wouldn't approve it. Not even the Democrats, because it's such a bad deal. It was giving them all this money so that they would quit making nukes, but they never quit. And they were giving all this money. Let me just tell you this, because it's all coming back. There were millions and millions of dollars given to Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton after that deal went through their foundation. I'm telling you, it's so crooked, folks. You just have no idea. But he was over there supposedly trying to save this deal. Why? Because whether he even realized it or not, Satan hates the Jewish people. And the Iranians are messengers of the devil. They hate the Jewish people. They want Israel destroyed. How many times has their leader said, we want Israel wiped off the face of the map? But thank God, for all his faults, Donald Trump had promised he would do away with that agreement. Also promised he'd move the embassy of Israel to Jerusalem. He did that too, thank God. That's where it should be.
Two more followed today.
Pardon?
Two more pictures that followed today, saying they're going to be moving there as well.
Praise God. Amen.
But the point I'm trying to make is there's a lot in this world system that is being manipulated, and it's Satan using people behind the scenes pulling strings.
And that's what's going on. So Jesus, when he comes back, he comes as a thief to take back the world system. That is the government of this world. The Bible says, one of the oldest prophecies is in Isaiah. It says, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Hallelujah.
But he's also coming back to take back, thank God, he's coming to take back churches. Do you know that there are churches that are so bereft of truth, that is, void of truth today? Do you know there are a lot of churches you can walk in today and you can have a scripture, thus saith the Lord, and just flat out say, we don't believe that anymore here. Even the Methodists have gone to taking out of their hymn books, changing their hymn books to take all the masculine references to God out and putting something that is gender neutral in. That is crazy. It's going against God's Word. We got Episcopalians ordaining homosexuals to the ministry. A girl I graduated with, she was ordained by the Methodists, and she's a flaming homosexual out of the closet, everything, to be a bishop in the United Methodist Church in the Appalachian region. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming to set that straight. In the last days, perilous times shall come. We see all these things. And you see the natural disasters, the things going on. If like the earth, the creation that God made is convulsing because of all the wickedness going on in the world around us, it's terrible. I don't know if I shared this with you, but I heard the story recently. It's a true story. There was a woman, and she took her baby and put it in the oven and killed it. My God, what is wrong with people? People go and have abortions and kill these innocent babies. Over 5,000. 5,000 a week. And then if that's not heinous enough, they sell the body parts off to the highest bidder. Planned Parenthood is the biggest provider of abortions in this country. And somehow, our stupid Congress is giving them $500 million a year. There's a private entity. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming to set some of those things straight. You know, we get so discouraged by all these things, but we just got to remember Jesus is coming. He's coming. And he's coming like a thief in the night. The Bible says, in the night. You know, the reason he says, I'm coming like a thief in the night, instead of saying, I'm coming like a thief in the daytime, because, Brother Glenn, there's a lot of darkness, as I've just enumerated, all around us. So much darkness. I was talking to somebody just this week, and a man and a woman, they divorced. And they've each got a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and they're all living in the same house together with their child. What is wrong with that, folks? You make that poor little child growing up like that. It's messed up. And we see this world is just going further and further down. People are trying to tell you, if you watch CBS, ABC, or NBC, and you watch them, they'll make you think that Trump is the evil worst person in all the world. And they will tell you that everybody else, the people that know better than the rest of us out of the country, they say they know better. We shouldn't have guns. You know, let me tell you, when they get all your guns, you get ready. That's exactly what Hitler did before he started gassing people. First he took all their guns, then he took all their property, and then he took their people, their families, and led children to the gas chambers. I hear a lot of young people, not these here in church, of course, but a lot of young people want socialism. That's so stupid. You go to somewhere like Venezuela. I've been many times down in South America on mission trips, and I can see the land, the coastline of Venezuela at night, and it was dark. And then the coastline there of Trinidad, where it's a democracy, and there's light everywhere, there's shopping malls, there's paved roads, there's churches. But in Venezuela, it's dark. Why? Because they're under socialism. People are fleeing there. They're starving to death. Look at Cuba. They've been fixing 57 Chevys for 60 years now. I'm telling you, people have got everything turned upside down. It's dark around us, folks. And so what do we take from all this? Well, I think what we have to do is take what the Lord said in Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, I believe about verse 14. He says, "But you are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You and I are the light of this dark world. Why? Because we're special. No. It's because of the Jesus inside of us shining out. And I want to encourage you, don't be ashamed to let Jesus shine out of you. Let your Jesus shine out when you go to school, to work, shopping, or wherever it might be. Let Jesus shine out of you. Because there are so many people in darkness right now. There's so many people that are afraid right now. They don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I have a rental house. Not the one y'all used to live in, but one over near Dublin. And I got a call. I was at the tire Twilliger's the other day getting a tire put on my lawnmower wheel. By the way, I got to ask you something. It won't go into gear. Now, I don't know what's wrong, but anyhow. I may need to a little bit. I might get to it. I also have CRM, can't remember stuff. And so. But anyhow, I'm sitting there talking to Brother Gene and Brother Kip. We had a good time, and I was fixing right a checkout for a tire, and a phone rang. And the lady and her son, chief librarian at East Lawrence Middle School, they just moved in the house, and they have spent their first night there. She said, real calm, she said, did you tell somebody that we were moving in and to come over here and scare us? I said, what are you talking about? And I tell this bitch to get kind of crazy, so I stepped outside where I can talk privately. She said, well, last night, me and Cam is good friends with Evan, and anyhow, so last night, Cam and I were sitting there, and we started hearing this. I said, where's it coming from?
From over our heads. In the sleep.
That's a mask. She said, but that isn't all. She said, then I started hearing. I said, what was that? She said, it sounded like something sliding on the sleep. She said, then all of a sudden I heard it. And Cam said, we got to call Pastor Tom. She said, honey, it's 10:39. We can't call him. He said, well, I'm calling Daddy. So they called the rest of the Daddy. And he drove 30 minutes from Dudley, got there, went on the back porch, stood on the stool and lifted up a piece of the Celotex tile. And just as he stuck his head, there was a gigantic snake coming straight towards him. He jumped down, and I can't say until I accompany what he said about it. But he said, there's about a 6 or 7 foot snake up there. Said, I thought y'all were probably just hearing a mouse. Said, I know y'all won't sleep, but I'll go to Mama's house. Y'all come to my house, stay tonight. So But thank God for Brother Nathan Garto. You know, they used to come to church here and they moved up to Buckeye now. But anyhow, Nathan went over there and looked. Evidently, they had to scare him off, put it in the safe way. Poor and crying Nathan, she was so afraid. And I told her, yes, this was day 4 years today. I talked to her yesterday. Everything okay? Well, that's good. We spent the night there last night. It was all right. I said, well, I got this rubber snake at home. And I started to bring it, put it in your mailbox. She said, I'm glad you did, because I would never pay another bill. Would never open it again. But I just said, I told that little story that there's so much fear around, folks. And I see that even sometimes in Christian people. Because like our scripture, it describes all these different people. That word incontinent, however you want to say it, pronounce it. That word means without any restraint. We see that today. That was a sign of the times. Truth breakers. We see that today. People will make a promise and then the promise means nothing. Isn't that true? It says disobedient to parents. Let me tell you, I would not even be alive today if I talked to my parents like I had seen some kids talk to their parents. I mean, I would be dead. Dead. I'm telling you, gone. Gone. Mama told me, said, I brought you in this world, I can take you out. I mean, she told me. She's about 4'11". But she can swing that doggone fly swatter. Ooh. I'm telling you, folks, don't be afraid. God has got this. But all this bad stuff, little, don't you worry. The Lord's got you right in the palm of His hand. Literally. The Bible says that He's written our names on the palms of His hand. Isn't that in the Bible? Has anybody ever heard that or read that? It is. That tells me a couple of things. First of all, He's got mighty big hands and He can write the names of all His children on His hands. But it also tells me he's thinking about us all the time. And He's got us. We're in the grip of His grace. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. When you see all these things happening, Jesus said, I'm compressing a lot of different prophecies He gave together. But when you see all these things happening, don't be afraid, Jesus said, but just know that your redemption draweth nigh. When you see the earthquakes and the floods and the things going crazy in the Middle East and the people acting stupid and turning against God, they're sad and we should shine our light, but don't let it make you afraid. Instead, let it make you thankful that Jesus is coming back, and know that it's soon. It's soon, very soon. I really will be surprised that we don't know the day nor the hour. I would be surprised if this world lasts 25 years. And I really don't believe even that long. Now, it may be 100, maybe 1,000. No man knows the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven know. But I'm going to tell you what, we know the season, can't we, Brother John? And the season is telling us. You say, how do you know a season? Well, when it starts to get cool outside, and the leaves begin to fall, turn colors, and then fall. When you start to see the geese flying south and the hummingbirds leave, and you start to see frost in the morning, you know that it's October and the season is changing. It's becoming fall because of what you see going on around you. Well, by the things we see going on around about, we know it is the season of the Lord's return. One of the greatest markers that he's going to come back soon was in 1948 when Israel became a nation. You say, well, my gospel, Tom, that's in 1948. That is, you know, this is the 70 years ago. 70 years. That's a long time. A day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, the Bible says. And 1,000 years is just like one day. So that's nothing. That's just a minute or two. Okay? I'm telling you, all these things we see happening. And we can see now how Russia has moved into the Middle East, into Syria. You might think all this stuff about news is boring. You ought to keep up with it because it tells you a lot. You've seen how prophecy is being fulfilled right before your eyes. Russia's now in Syria. They have aligned themselves with Iran. China and Russia have come together, and the Bible talks about how that the kings of the north will come against Israel. That's all about Russia and China. And the kings of the south. That's Egypt. That's the Muslim nations coming against Israel. And one day that's going to happen. They're going to surround Israel. And Israel will lose, I think it's a fourth or a third of its population will be killed. But just before they can be wiped out, Jesus is going to come back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he's going to mop the floor with them. The Bible says there's a place called the Battle of Armageddon. And there's a valley called the Valley of Megiddo. Everybody say Megiddo. That's my South Georgia pronunciation. It might be Megiddo, I don't know, but it's Megiddo is the way I say it. And it is a flat area. It's several miles wide. Napoleon, you remember Napoleon? I don't really remember, you know. Oh, and on the way he did that. Maybe that nasty fingernail chewed his nail or something. I don't know, but he always stood like this. And Napoleon said that he saw that, he toured the Holy Land, and he saw the place where Armageddon was supposed to be fought. The Bible tells me in the Valley of Megiddo. Napoleon is standing there surveying what will one day be the greatest battle of all time. He says that is the most perfect battlefield I have ever seen. And he fought all across Europe against Wellington from Great Britain. Of course, he met his end at Waterloo, but he knew something about a great battlefield. He said, this is the most perfect battlefield in all the world that I've ever seen. The Bible tells us that the carnage is going to be so awful when Jesus comes back and attacks these nations and the Antichrist that are trying to destroy Israel, that the blood from those wicked people will be so deep it will be as high as the bridle on the horse. Now, even if it's a small horse, say a 13-hand horse, that bridle's about right there. I mean, if it's a 15-hand, even, I mean, that's a lot of blood to be that deep in blood. But there's going to be millions and millions and millions of people gathered in that valley to fight. And Jesus is coming back. The good news is we're coming with him. We're coming on those white horses with him. I just don't like horses, baby. You better start liking horses. You better talk to Sister Stephanie and get some riding lessons from her or something, because we're going to ride horses coming back. Glory to God. I hope they put Harry on an old donkey or something. Big geek in here. No, we'll all be on white horses. Anybody got something to throw? Sharp tongue on that right. Listen to me, though. The thing we got to remember in the last days, perilous times shall come. But we don't have to be afraid. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Just believe in the Lord, folks. And what you need to do instead of feeding your fear, because I've known the people that feed their fear. They may not tend to, but they're feeding their fear. They let their mind run away with them. They listen to everything that's so negative. Listen, I listen to some news, but I'm not watching it all the time. The Bible says if there's anything of good report, anything of virtue, anything that's good, it says, if there be any praise, he says, think on these things. That's what he says in Philippians. Renew your mind with good stuff. Make sure that the Bible is a part of your everyday. You say, well, Tom, I just don't have time to read my Bible. You got time. You can read two or three verses at least. fact, I'd rather you read two or three verses than two or three chapters, quite honestly, because you're not going to know what you read when you read two or three chapters in 10 minutes. Read two or three verses and maybe read them two or three times. And think about it as you go through your day. Hallelujah. This morning on the radio, I'm fixing to close. This morning on the radio, we have a scripture going, Sister Stephanie does, and she was trying to find one this morning, and I could tell she was just fixing to flop her Bible open, and fear shot through me because I thought she's going to land in Leviticus or somewhere, and it's going to be about Nimrod begat so-and-so. And she always wants me to make a little comment, you know, after she reads the scripture. I said, can I give you one this morning? She said, oh, yes, please. I said, what about Philippians 4:13? And anyhow, we gave that scripture out. And she said, Brother Tom said, Pastor Tom said, what is that little saying that you always say about God being on time? And I said, oh, and she reminded me what it was. I said, God is rarely early, but He's never late. He's always right on time. And you don't know how many people through the day contacted me, sent me a little message. People I don't even know, Brother Tom. That really helped me today. I'm not saying about me, I'm saying about our God, okay? If we can just remember that, He's always on time. Sherry, what hits you and Susan, this cancer and stuff, what hit me, nothing as bad as y'all. What Glenda's dealing with, listen, it's bad, and I don't believe God put it on you, but He had enough confidence in the blood of His Son that He knew that it would be right on time, that healing power. And I'm telling you, some of you have gone through some things. Some of us have got children that's gone crazy. Come on, bud. Come on, some of y'all. Let me tell you, we know that we raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the Bible says, train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. I believe God's right on time. And they're coming back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I remember when I had nothing. Nothing. I mean nothing. I was sweeping parking lots just to get enough to eat when I left Jacksonville, came back. But God was right on time, you see. He's right on time. Somebody says, well, you didn't right. How in the world you got some rental house on? Let me tell you, I don't own the bank does. But I'm trying to do this so that one day when I'm gone, Jesse Kagan's got something, because my child, God's will, will never be in a nursing home or something like that, but I'm gone. In Jesus' name. But I'm going to tell you, some will say, well, that's how you have that. Let me tell you, baby, you come in at the end of the movie. Okay? The credits are rolling. You don't know what I went through when I ate peanut butter sandwiches 3 times a day. And I come up work, James taking down fence for it, and he would pay me $100 for a $20 job just so. And he said, no, I don't have no change. You got to take this $100. He would. I come up visit just like eat Marshall's groceries and go to Janice's house and eat at her house because I didn't have nothing. I was able to struggle. And then they called me here to pastor and bless God. God blessed me. He gave me a family of people that love me here. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, don't be afraid. God's on time. Don't be afraid in these dark days. Don't be afraid of what's going on around you. God got you. He's got you. Amen. Let's give God some praise for this house. I'm glad He's got me, aren't you? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor,